God's calendar only has five squares. Five squares on God's calendar. We have 30 every month. And then we have 12 months. What's 30 times 12? 360? We have 360 squares. And that's just in a year. That's ridiculous. No wonder we're overloaded and overwhelmed with details. God has only five squares on his calendar, and they're called eons. Hi, everybody. This is Martin Zenner. I'm going to tell you about the eons. I'm going to give you a brief overview of the eons, and I'm going to show you how the tabernacle system is a reflection in space of what the eons are in time. Now, when I say in space, I don't mean lost in space. I don't mean up there where the black sky and the sparkly stars are. I'm talking about spatially and as opposed to time. Now, it's all going to be clear to you in mere moments. Hebrews chapter 9, I'm going to riff off of two phrases in the scriptures. 9:2, talking about a worldly holy place. It might be the end of 1:9:1. It's hard to tell in the concordant version. The worldly holy place. Holy place has to do with the world. The system. World is cosmos. It means system. And in verse 9 of chapter 9, we read about the tabernacle. It's a parable for the present period. You got to love that alliteration. A parable for the present period. Let's briefly give you an overview of the eons and show you how the tabernacle system, this is not an accident. God designed this. Pictures is a parable of the eons. All right, space and time, you understand, I think, right? Space is what takes up space. That's what we're talking about, spatial considerations. And that would be the tabernacle. It takes up space, and it's a progression in space. You go from this space to that space to that space as you walk east to west into the temple area. By the way, did you know in Scripture that good things happen from east to west, bad things happen from west to east? I just thought I'd point that out to you. So that's the tabernacle, but the eons concern time. We go from this time to that time to that time, from this eon to that eon. And while we're going from this eon to that eon, in a parable, the priests are going from this place to that place, the holy place to the holy of holies, or the altar to the holy place. And there are five sections of the temple, and there are five eons. Not a coincidence. I don't know if you realize this, that God has a time name and he has a space name. His time name is Yahweh, Y-H-W-H. You have to fill in the vowels yourself because there are no vowels in the Hebrew. And this name means will, being, and was. It's a three-part word, Yahweh, will, future, being, present, was, past. That's his time name. He also has a space name. And that is Elohim. It's what he does. He's the placer. Elohim means placer. Okay? Yahweh is will, being, was, wraps up his involvement in time. Spatially, he's Elohim. He puts stuff where it is. He's the placer. And so we have two highways here I'm wanting you to consider. I'm wanting you to consider the space highway and the time highway. The space highway is the tabernacle system. The time highway is the eons. And we're going to look at the five eons. I was in Mansfield, Ohio one day, and I saw a license plate that said Eon 5. I could not believe it, because Eon 5 is the pinnacle of everything God is doing during the eons, during these time periods. And Scripture is a revelation of what God is doing during the eons, during time. People say, Martin, what's going to happen after the eons? I don't know. All I know is it's called the consummation. It's the consummation of the eons, and I think it's a leap of logic to say that time ends. I'm not sure time ends. I just know that the eons end, and I know that we have no revelation from God of anything beyond the consummation of the eons, in which the purpose of God is fulfilled, that is, to reconcile all things to him, both that in the heavens and that on the earth, reconciling things on the earth through Israel and things in the heavens through the body of Christ. Now, there was a time before the eons. This tells you that the eons have a beginning and the eons have an end. We're not talking about eternity here. There's nothing in the Scripture concerning eternity. Once you realize that the Bible is a revelation of the eons, of time, then you will avoid a lot of nasty, nasty train wrecks. You'll get eternity out of the Bible. Judgment is aeonian. Punishment is aeonian. Death is aeonian. Oh, Martin, that must mean our life is aeonian. Well, yeah, it is. But we're also made immortal, so you have enough life to make it to a time when there's nothing but life, i.e. immortality. Now, I told you there's a time before the eons. You want a verse reference for that. It's 1 Corinthians 2:7. You might want to go to 2 Timothy 1:9 as well. Romans 16:25, Titus 1:2. Now, the eons began. We talked about that at the beginning of this study of Hebrews. Hebrews 1:2, Christ created the eons. Ephesians 3:11. Let's just read that one. In accord with the purpose of the eons which he makes in Christ Jesus. That's a confirmation of Hebrews 1:2. In accord with the purpose of the eons. There's some really awful translations like the King James, the NASB, the NIV that says God's eternal purpose. That's insanity. You have to drink a lot of alcohol for that to make sense. An eternal purpose. God is purposing for eternity. An eternal purpose is nonsense. God fulfills his purpose. If you have a purpose and you're continually purposing, you're an idiot. In French, you're an idiot. God's not that dumb. He has an aeonian purpose. And at the end of the eons, he completes it. Now, the first eon, Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And he created the earth perfect to be inhabited, Isaiah 45:18. And we know that God is flawless in his contrivance, Deuteronomy 32:4. He makes everything right. So the first earth was made to be inhabited. Peter calls it the then world. And I want you to know in Ephesians 2:2, every world that is space has a corresponding eon in time. A world is the arrangement. The placer, Elohim, runs the world. The placer puts things where they are. That's the word world, cosmos, arrangement. And every world has a corresponding eon during which the world takes place. God is the God of the eons as well. He's Yahweh, he's the time God. But there was a disruption of the world, Genesis 1:3. That began the second eon. Disruption of the world, there's a new world. Ah, clue, Ephesians 2:2. That's our Rosetta Stone. That's our key. If there's a change in worlds, there's also a change in eons. Peter calls it the ancient world. Interesting. Good old Peter. 2 Peter 3:6 talks about the then world, speaking of the world before the disruption. Then he talks about the ancient world, which is the days of Noah. That world came to an end. And so Noah's flood ended the second eon. Noah came out of the boat into a new eon. Paul calls it, Ephesians 2:2, the eon of this world. Eon of this world, as opposed to the eon of that world. Remember, eons and worlds correspond. Eon is time, world is space. Ephesians 2:2 is your Rosetta Stone there to be able to make that translation. Cosmos is the constitution of things. It's the system, the orderly arrangement of things. So we are now in the present wicked eon, Galatians 1:4. And God's going to extricate us out of it. Yahoo! He's going to extricate us out of the present wicked eon. And if you wonder why you're having a bad day, Galatians 1:4. We're in a present wicked eon. This is the worst eon there's ever been. Now, in Ephesians 2, verses 6 through 7, Paul talks about the oncoming eons. So that tells you that there are eons in the future. So 1 Corinthians, are you getting all this? 1 Corinthians 2:7, there was a time before the eons. And Ephesians 2:6-7, we're speaking of oncoming eons. And Galatians 1:4, the current eon. And then Jesus gives us a nice, big, fat, juicy clue. And Luke 20:34, verse 35 talks about this eon and that eon. This eon, that eon, the coming eon. If the King James Version and the NIV, the new inconsistent version, and the NASB had been consistent, they would have translated this eternity and that eternity. Because they translated eon, which is based on the Greek word ion, they translated that word so many different ways and actually opposite ways. They translated eternity some places and ages other places. Be consistent. They translated eternity. I dare you to translate it eternity in Luke 20, 34 and 35. Those worthy to attain to that eon, that eternity, this eternity, that eternity. Now they're coming to take me away. Ho, ho, ha, ha, he, he. You got to be crazy to talk like that. People don't understand it. People don't get it. So God, I got to tell you this, you know, I can't even get into this now, which is unfortunate. I want to get into the tabernacle and show you the parable. And I thought I'd be doing this today. I really did. I wanted to get through it. I thought it would be nice to end the week on Friday talking about what I promised to talk to you about and what the emails came flooding in, say, Martin, talk about the lost 10 tribes of Israel. Gonna do that. Can't wait to do it, but I'm probably going to have to do that Monday because tomorrow I need to finish up on the eons and give you the parable, the analogy between the tabernacle system and the eons. It is so cool. It really is how God knows what he's doing and he's orderly. That always comforts me because if you look at the world, it appears to be chaos. It appears to be random, but it's not. Everything is on schedule. Everything is happening according to a plan. God is timely. His calendar is just huge, that's all. He is micromanaging everything. Don't worry about that. The hairs on your head are numbered. He knows when the sparrow falls. He participates in it. He has the keys of death and Hades. Everything is going according as he wants it to go, and it's happening when he wants it to go. So you rest in that. I'm going to rest in that, and we're going to make it through this wicked eon together.